This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts.
And everybody from Philadelphia, 76ers.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another post-Sixers win reaction. I'm Lauren Rosen. Matt Murphy is here. We are live on Twitter Spaces. We will also be on the 76ers Insiders podcast feed. So if you come late or if you leave early, you can always catch the show on 76ers Insiders if you're not already subscribed there. Matt Murphy, good morning. How are you?
Lauren Rosen, good morning. How are you? I'm doing well. 96-84 win for the Sixers against the Brooklyn Nets, a 2-0 series lead in this Eastern Conference first round series. The key word has been trust around the Sixers, particularly with Game 2 and how they're trusting one another to make the right plays, make the right passes. They overcame a deficit in this one, down as many as 10 points late in the first half, down 5 at halftime, but they rallied. They made it 6 straight playoff wins over Brooklyn, dating back historically, and also they went 4-0 in the regular season, so the Sixers have had the Nets number for a while now, and they were able to mount a comeback primarily with the help of Tyrese Maxey, who went off for a game-high 33.
Tyrese Maxey was the man of the hour. Tobias Harris was great last night. Joel Embiid, 19 rebounds on a quiet night. Two quiet nights for Joel Embiid in games 1 and 2, and he's been absolutely awesome nevertheless. Let's get into the box score now. Guys, if you look at the bottom right-hand corner of the space, you can add a question or a comment in that using that left, bottom right-hand corner purple icon. You can also send Matt or myself a DM, and we will try to get to as many of them as we possibly can throughout the next 20 to 30 minutes or so. But without further ado, I'm going to go through the box score. If anyone inspires a question or a comment, please drop it below or send it in a DM. We'll run through last night's key contributors, starting with, Matt mentioned it, Tyrese Maxey, a team high 33 points for young Tyrese in 40 minutes. That was a team high as well. He also grabbed 3 rebounds. He had a block. He finished at a team high plus 17, shooting 13 for 23 from the field, 6 for 13 from 3-point range. That is his new playoff career high in threes for Tyrese Maxey. Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris had 20 points apiece. Joel finishes with a massive 20-point, 19-rebound double-double, plus 7 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks. He shot 6 for 11 from the floor, 8 for 8 from the free throw line, and finished at plus 14 in 37 minutes. Tobias, a 12 rebounds to add to his 20 points, plus 2 assists, a steal, finishes plus 9, 8 for 14 from the field, 33 minutes of play. He becomes the only Sixer to, or besides Joel rather, the second Sixer to score 20 plus in both games 1 and 2. James Harden finished with 8 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and a team high 4 steals. A quieter shooting night from James, but able to get his teammates involved when it mattered down the stretch. D'Anthony Melton finished with a bench high 9 points. 2 for 5 from 3, 21 minutes marked not a bench high. Jalen McDaniels, 22 minutes marked a bench high in minutes. PJ Tucker had 8 rebounds and 3 assists in his 22 minutes of play. Matt, what stood out most to you? This one was an absolute, it was tough for the Sixers to get it done. They did not like how they played in the first half, but understanding how much they didn't like their play, to be able to pull a win out in the playoffs, nevertheless, a very impressive thing to do.
You and I have been talking a lot about how this Sixers team, all year, there were some games that they came back in, and they've shown that they can win in different ways. And how important is that for the NBA postseason, where it's just a different type of basketball? It's so much fun to watch. I'm sure it's intense to be out there, obviously, based on what we see and what we hear from the players. But to prove you can win in different ways, when there's adjustments made each and every single game around the best player in the world in Joel Embiid, arguably the best player, likely the MVP. I feel comfortable saying that, but knock on wood, of course, Sixers fans. But when he's drawing so much attention, I already see some questions and comments about Joel's rebounding and assist totals coming in. He was able to get his teammates involved. The team can win in different ways. And it's what good teams do, is win a game like Game 2 against Brooklyn. My box score takeaway, it's the 5 offensive rebounds for Tobias Harris on a 12-rebound night, because yet again, second-chance points were a big factor. How about this? 18-0 in favor of the Sixers for second-chance points.
Big time. Absolutely big time. A couple of those in between Games 1 and 2. Sorry, Matt, was that the end of the thought? You got more?
That was the end of the thought, but
I was like, I didn't want to cut you off. Yeah, I mean, and Matt, absorbing the turnover problems as well that they had more in the first half, but also in the second half, and figuring out ways to get it done. If you're cool with it, I'd love to hear from Tyrese Maxey, who was the leading scorer last night.
Yeah, you mentioned turnovers, and Jacque Vaughn, the Nets coach, postgame talked about how they did so many things better than they did in Game 1. Like, they won the turnover battle this time, for example, being one of those things, and yet the Sixers win by double digits. So I think that says a lot, because they corrected things, and then the Sixers did other things well. Again, the sign of a strong contender. But go ahead. Let's hear from Tyrese.
Here he is.
I think, first of all, we didn't shoot great from the field, but we were able to get stops, timely stops when we needed them. Consecutive stops in a row, which led to fast breaks, led to easy buckets, and us being able to set our defense. You know, they made some adjustments as far as how they were trapping, how they were playing defense and defending guys. You know, it kind of caught us by surprise in the first half, and then we went in, made adjustments to the second half, and then we were good.
What was the message at halftime with you guys, and why did you need that timeout, a minute in, to kind of get that spark going for the second half?
Yeah, so defensively, we were doing really good. I mean, I think we held them to under 50 points in the first half, but our offense wasn't matching our same level of defense. And we had to find ways to get guys in space, get guys in the right spots. And Joel, we had to be in Joel's vision for when they trapped him, to help him out, and I think we did that.
Dinwiddie struggled again tonight. Is there any sort of specific points of emphasis that you have when you're guarding him?
I just try to pressure him. He's like 3 or 4 inches taller than me. So if I can get under him and try to pressure him and try to force him to shoot mid-twos over me, I mean, that's what I try to do. There's no special secret to it. I'm just trying to play defense.
Tyrese, we haven't seen you show emotion the way that you did after that and-one in the third quarter in a pretty long time. Can you take us through sort of what led to that exhale of emotion?
Yeah, man, I just want to win, man. It's like, we knew this was an important game. You know, Tuck said it, as soon as we won game one, that game two is going to be the hardest game. And we wanted to go make sure that we protected home court. I mean, we started off slow, like we talked about, but we went to the half only down 5. As bad as we played offensively, we were only down 5 points. And we knew that if we get our offense to catch up to our defense and continue to be stingy on defense, then we knew we had a shot.
It seemed like you got a lot of threes. The elbow free throw line and just handle the doubles better. Was that sort of what the message was? To trust that.
That was Tyrese Maxey from last night. Matt, I think we might still be having connectivity issues, but I'm not sure if you had somewhere you wanted to head next while I check that out.
Mary had a comment about Tyrese Maxey's defense. said Tyrese was terrific offensively, but also his defense on Dinwiddie was remarkable. So I think back to when his teammates were calling him two-way Tyrese, shouting out his defensive improvements in year three at different points in the regular season. And that's, of course, important in the playoffs as well. And that's another thing. I keep going back to the Nets postgame and kind of like what they're saying about this series. And to have Joel Embiid draw so much attention, it's not to say the Nets sounded surprised that Tyrese Maxey had a 30-plus point game, but he's done it so much that when they say things like, oh, credit to Tyrese Maxey for showing up and making shots, it's like he's not a guy you can just leave open in certain situations. And he was making some different types of threes and things like that. But that's a great sign for the Sixers that when you're trying to take everything else away, and that's giving prime opportunities to a player as skilled as Tyrese Maxey on the offensive end, and that's the player that they're saying afterwards, credit to him, he's going to make you pay more times than not. So that was a huge takeaway for me for the rest of this series. Him and Tobias Harris were crucial to the game two win.
Yeah, underestimating Tyrese Maxey, not a smart thing to do in the playoffs, as he has proven now 3 years running. And good to see him, of course, after a quieter game one, come out in game two and show what he's able to do, especially on nights when other Sixers perhaps are a little bit quieter. But someone who hasn't been quiet, Matt, you mentioned Tobias Harris. Let's go through his playoff run thus far. And of course, it's only been two games, but they have been two nearly identical, not identical out on the floor, but very similar performances for Tobias Harris in his first two games. Game one on Saturday, Tobias in his 29 minutes had 21 points, 4 assists, and a block. He shot 9 for 14 from the field, and I said identical, sorry. I mean shooting numbers. Of course, his rebounding got much better in game two, a 20-point 12 rebound double-double plus 2 assists and a steal in game two, but 8 for 14 from the field. So shooting 64% on night one, 57% on night two. Tobias Harris has been absolutely solid for this team. Doc Rivers give him credit once again for the defensive work, drawing tough defensive assignments in this series so far. But Matt, what have you seen from Tobias Harris that's excited you?
I thought his aggressive start to the second game in this series was huge, because the big question, there's been some questions during spaces here that have come in live about the Nets' defensive approach on Embiid, and would they go back to those double teams early and often? And the answer was that they did. And there was an and one for Tobias Harris right away, where he looked into the crowd and did the count it symbol or gesture, and I thought his aggressive start, that's the type of Tobias Harris that you need. And then he played a big role in that third quarter stretch, 20-5 run in the third quarter. Again, they trailed by 5 at halftime and by 10 just before that in the second quarter. How much fun was the arena like during that time? It was amazing. That run for the Sixers, the first home night game of this postseason run, and to come back and have Embiid passing out of these double teams, some critical offensive rebounds for PJ Tucker too, to keep possessions alive. He didn't make the threes that he made in game one, but again, timely rebounds to set up some Maxey threes, set up the Harris three, set up a big Harden three during that stretch. And that third quarter run, the building came alive.
Yeah, that third quarter was a lot of fun. The building, of course, not as thrilled at halftime, or when the Sixers fell by double digits in the first half, and then to see them sort of come around and be that loud, raucous, energetic crowd that the team was waiting for, too, and earned in the third quarter was a lot of fun. Drew said Toby is the key. If he keeps playing like this on both ends of the court, we have a real shot at the finals. And Matt, you and I talked about it before the series. Teams are going to game plan priority-wise for Joel Embiid first. Then they're going to look at James Harden. And if they do a good job guarding those two guys, that means the Sixers are going to be in a position where they need to prioritize guys like Tyrese Maxey, like Tobias Harris. And if those guys can have big nights on nights when Joel or James is quieter, or it's well defended, well game planned by their opponent, if Tobias and Tyrese can make defenses pay for the attention they're giving to James and Joel. The Sixers might be set for a long run. It's been awesome to watch them thus far, watch them make the adjustments that they needed to make.
Harris was in the dunker spot for a lot of the night, and he did say after that that was a new thing for him, and just different types of offensive plays where he was down there by the block and making sometimes the extra pass to the opposite corner. These guys were lethal from the corners, Harris and Maxey, and Tucker's going to have his nights. On this night in particular, Tucker and Paul Reed and Harris crashing the offensive glass, that was kind of the leading trio for offensive rebounds. So on the few threes that you're not always going to hit 21 threes like game one, but it is a very strong shooting team, the highest by percentage from three-point range in the regular season. So it is dangerous for opposing teams as these Sixers continue hitting their stride in the playoffs. They were able to heat up in a hurry in the second half, and it was encouraging now that they head on the road to Brooklyn. An Embiid thought came in from Champ, and I pose it to you. How do you feel about Embiid making up for lack of points with the 19 rebounds and the 7 assists? Joel likes when he can get that assist count up.
He was cooking on the boards, though, early on in the night, getting up to 15, I believe, at halftime. And seeing, again, Joel has talked about it sort of time and time again, figuring out ways to impact the game, even if a defense is stifling one of his skills. And it's not that they've been stifling his scoring necessarily, but when they're bringing doubles and triples as frequently as the Brooklyn Nets have been bringing them to Joel Embiid, he needs to sort of dial into those other skills. And he's shown that he can do it. You mentioned PJ Tucker briefly. PJ obviously has been super, super vocal. Out on the floor, we've seen it. And then in the locker room, the guys have talked about it. I'm calling back to game one. He had a strongly worded conversation, he told us, with Paul Reed at halftime. He didn't like the energy he was bringing in the first half, not playing with enough confidence, not being disruptive enough, and had some strong words for Paul at halftime. And then, of course, Paul comes out and responds immediately. And then I liked what Tyrese Maxey said following the game last night. He said that PJ Tucker had sort of gathered the guys together after game one and said, here's the quote, PJ Tucker said, as soon as we won game one, that game two was going to be the hardest game. Tyrese talked about the emotion that he showed last night. He said he just wants to win. And PJ Tucker has proven time and time again on a variety of teams that he just wants to win as well. So really cool to see PJ sort of putting the team on his back out on the floor, creating those extra opportunities, like you said, Matt, but then clearly bringing them together off the floor in the moments that we can't hear as fans.
We've gotten a good amount of engagement today from Sixers fans, kind of taking their analysis a step further, asking about strategy and things like that. And they're into this. They're into this postseason, as you might expect. So I'm going to read some of those in a second, Lauren, and you can kind of take it in whatever direction you would like. But one more thing on PJ Tucker is that my favorite play of the game was, surprise, surprise, Embiid was double teamed. This was third quarter. And Tucker set a screen in front of the Nets bench for Maxey in the corner. He missed the three, and then PJ Tucker got the offensive rebound, threw it back to Tyrese Maxey, and of course, he made the second one. That was my favorite play of this 12-point victory for the Sixers. But I'm looking at some replies. Sophie said bravo to Maxey, of course, but Tobias is my game MVP by an easy margin. That combination of aggression and cool assuredness is something to see. Great thought there. Mara asked you, Lauren, how will the team maintain intensity in every game? They're locked in right now.
Locked in indeed. And again, I like what PJ and Tyrese said about the fact that game two can, of course, be oftentimes the most pivotal game in a series. And of course, you can say that about any game. Now going up 3-0 becomes the most important game in the series. Then the opportunity for a sweep becomes the most important game in the series. But the threat of ending up at a 1-1 situation where the series is even and becomes a best of five, it changes everything. Being up 2-0 is where you want to be at this point. Again, I'm saying obvious things. These are cliches, but the messaging that they're giving one another about the importance of each game, I think is really important. And then being able to see them go out there and back up that messaging with their performance has been just a thrill, honestly, Matt, to watch in these first couple of games. So how will they keep it going? I don't know. But I like the leadership that's being shown across the board and the way that the guys are answering the call that those leaders are giving out.
Couple more that I'm going to read, and then I want you to share whatever's on your mind on the way out with the last word. Baba, two tweets saying, Tyrese's defense picked up the past couple months. I like what I'm seeing from him. I think James needs to see some layups go in and some fouls actually called, and he'll be fine. Baba also said, Tobias has been very good. I need him to maintain this play for the remainder of the playoffs. Jamie asked, will Brooklyn change their defense going forward regarding Embiid? Saw that after a while, Joel was dealing with the double teams pretty easily. It's a catch-22. There was a play towards the very end of the game. I'll try to find the clip on Twitter, but it may be too late by the time we're done live here. Anyway, you could see it in the highlights, I'm sure, if you watch the full game highlights on the @Sixers Twitter. But when the double teams did not come, there was one where Joel hit an easy... He made a very difficult shot look easy on like a fadeaway jumper, and he did that all season long in this campaign where he's yet again the scoring leader, and he just cannot have an inch of space, or else at his size he's somehow going to make these 15 plus foot jumpers, and as soon as the Nets played off of him, he made them pay. So I think they're in a really difficult spot because they kind of have to keep the double teams coming. At least through two games, they said, we're going to go back to the double and triple teams and hope that the Sixers miss shots. And Tyrese Maxey made more shots than he did in game one, and they were able to complete the comeback. So it's a really difficult spot for the Nets and any team the Sixers face.
Kara was listening to the game one space and says that she loves the way that playoff P and playoff P, PJ and Paul, have been playing over the first couple of games. So look again for Doc Rivers has sort of called those guys the energy guys on this team. So he's credited PJ Tucker, of course, but then that bench unit that has D'Anthony Melton, Jalen McDaniels, George Niang, definitely an energy guy, as we've seen every night throughout this season. And Paul Reed, of course, an energy guy as well. Doc has loved the way that they have showed up. And of course, in the playoffs, their minutes get limited, perhaps, compared to the regular season. Daniel House Jr., another great example. But continuing to bring the energy, keep the intensity up. So as the series shifts to Brooklyn.
Thursday in Brooklyn, you said this, that it's the night games are at 7:30 to start the series, at least the ones that we knew the times coming in. And then the day games, which will be game four again, the Saturdays are at 1. But first, it's game three. Sixers looking to go up 3-0 in the series. 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. TNT and NBC Sports Philadelphia on the television side. And then 97.5, the Fanatic, of course, the radio call on the Sixers radio network. One other thing is that the Kings have kind of been stacked up, Lauren, and it's fun to watch the playoffs as a whole. The Kings have been stacked up with the Sixers, so they were able to go up 2-0 against Golden State after the Sixers went up 2-0 on Brooklyn. That's been a fun little wrinkle to kind of have those as doubleheaders.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, looking around the league, Matt, has been a thrill over these last few days.
You're a huge playoff person. You love the NBA playoffs. Not that I don't, but I can't even... Lauren comes up to me all day, every day, talking about the NBA playoffs, and I don't think you've missed a game. You've watched all of them for various amounts of time.
I have. I fall asleep during the last game of the night consistently. Like, that 10:30 start on Sunday was absolutely not kind to me. But the rest of the slate on Sunday, I loved. Last night, as other games were getting underway while we were in the arena, I was sort of taking a look. Yeah, I'm locked in right now. And I think it's worth noting that this has been an exciting first round. It was an exciting play-in tournament. There's a lot of good still to come. The Sixers have obviously started as perfectly as they possibly can. But looking around the league, and wondering who's going to come out of this whole thing, Matt, has been a lot of fun.
Yes, it has indeed. That's all I've got for today. Well, my last word could be, while you're watching that Embiid fadeaway highlight that I mentioned, watch the pass he had to Maxey, too, around that time. One of Maxey's threes, a little less than, I want to say 1:55 left in the fourth. Maxey, corner three from an Embiid double team pass, go up 11. There was a huge smile on Joel Embiid's face running back down the floor. They've got the trust right now. They've got this energy that Tobias Harris talks about emanating from Joel Embiid wanting to get his teammates involved because that's what the game plan calls for. And the shooters making shots, most recently it was Maxey, and the big smile from Embiid. Things are good in Sixers land right now, heading to Brooklyn with a 2-0 series lead. But thank you, Lauren Rosen. Thanks to the listeners. Anything else you want to get in on the way out the door?
Just looking to keep it rolling, Matt. Thanks as always for listening. Thanks for bearing with our technical difficulties today. Usually these don't happen. Hoping rather that it's a fluke as we move forward. But if you're not already listening on the 76ers Insiders podcast, you can find some one-on-one interviews with some of your favorite Sixers, some of whom have played extremely well over the last couple of days. If you want to get to know these guys a little bit better off the court, for perhaps today, if you're listening on Tuesday, an off day, tomorrow, a travel day, ahead of Thursday's return to action, get to know those guys a little bit better on the 76ers Insiders podcast. If you scroll down by about two episodes, you'll see that one-on-one interview series that we recorded just a couple weeks ago with about half the roster. So I hope you guys enjoy those. Matt, thanks for shouldering the difficulties this morning. Appreciate you, and we will talk to you guys next time.
I've got one more. Hopefully they don't cut us off. Shout out Winona. We didn't get our shout out in for Winona earlier, and Winona said,
"Oh, you got to."
Earlier on in the show, the basketball gods are on my side. Flight delayed. So that meant Winona was able to be here with us. So
I'm sorry to hear that you got delayed, but I am so glad you were able to join us, Winona, one of the most faithful to our podcast. So we appreciate you. We appreciate all of you guys in here today.
Yes, let's go. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.